Ah, God is good, isn't he? Pardon? pardon? God is good, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. Right. I want to quickly mention three resources to you, because I will forget if I don't, okay? So they're not in a particular order. The first one is this, which is free, which is about the community that's growing up around Felderbrennen. And this is a scattered community. And if you want to know a little bit about it, please grab one of these and take it away. It's worth taking anyway, because it has all our contact details on the back. So if for nothing else. But that would also apply to this. Let me just tell you quickly about this. This little thing, Rhythm of Daily Prayer, is the simple framework that we use in our rhythm of prayer. Now, it took us a number of years to settle down to our rhythm of prayer, because to begin with, we used everybody else's. And gradually out of it evolved our pattern, our words, our rhythm, and this is it. So we finally stopped messing around with odd A4 sheets of paper that we give out to everybody and so on. And we turned them into a little booklet, and we printed them, here they are, on our office laser printer. We printed 20 copies. But a week later, we soon realized we only got 10. And we couldn't find the missing 10, so the office rang off another 10. And within a few days, most of them had disappeared. So somebody started writing in red letters over the top right-hand side, chapel copy only, and we produced about a dozen in the office and put them in our lobby where we have a few things, resources that are available. And they all went that morning. And we thought, oh, some other people then who've been would like some of these. So we printed 20 and they lasted a week. So I said, oh, well, okay, if people want to take our rhythm and use it themselves, they can. That was several years ago. We can't produce them now because at the moment we're posting them out at the rate of 1,000 a month. It's been translated into different languages. We know of tribes up in the High Atlas Mountains that are meeting using this in translation. So the tribe is meeting 4 times a day using a rhythm of prayer from Felderbrennen. Don't you think that's utterly bizarre? We certainly do. Anyway, if you want to grab one of those, please do so. I'm afraid they're not free. They're very expensive. They're £1.50. But the other thing I just want to tell you about is this. This pack is a simple guide to establishing local houses of prayer. I'm not really going to talk about this, other than a few sentences, really, a little later on. Local houses of prayer, I mean. But if it triggers off for you, I'd like to know more about that, then this is something you can grab. So a lady came to us a few weeks ago when we had our, some point in September, when we had our local houses of prayer conference. And we had 85 people who were with us on that. We've trained over 300 people now. But 85 people came for a few days, and they went away really saying, we want to see the kingdom of God come in our communities. We want to see salvation poured out, justice rise up from the streets, and so on. So she bought a set of this. So there are 4 CDs here teaching about the principles of how we can use our homes as a base to begin to see the kingdom of God breaking out in our community. So what she did, when she just emailed a few days ago, that's why we know this, it's hot off the press. So she went home and she asked her minister if she could spend a few minutes just telling everybody a little bit about her experiences of God at Felderbrennen and about local houses of prayer. So she did that. And 16 people came up to her afterwards saying, we want to be part of something to do with this. And she wasn't quite sure what to do. But there are 4 CDs there. So she said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. For the next 4 weeks, I'm going to throw the house open for lunch. And what we're going to do is we're going to have lunch and listen to one of the CDs, pray over it, and talk about it together. And that's what she did. And out of that, 6 groups have started. Now, I say, this only began in September, but already she's got 17 people from four different churches saying, we've heard about what you're doing, we want to be part of this, will you do your lunches again? Can we? So she's going to do that. But they have a whole circuit of churches, this is in Dorset, who are now saying, actually, we all want to see Dorset penetrated for the kingdom. Every village, every place, and we're ready to pour people into this that we may see the kingdom come. Will you actually come down and help us to get this launched? So of course we said no. So that's it, and there are only a few copies over there on the resource table, and I'm not going to say any more about it, and that's why I just wanted to tell you in case you were left wondering. Now then, it's confession time. Who drank my water? Oh. Oh. Would you? Thank you very, very much indeed. Okay. Let's pray. Father, you are magnificent. Jesus, you are stunningly amazing, full of grace and truth. And we turn our eyes to you, Lord Jesus, and we say that you are magnificent, that all honor and praise and glory is due to you. We thank you, Jesus. We bless you for the wounds that have healed us, for the blood that was shed for us. Father, we marvel at what you did in your willingness to give Jesus for us. And we are stunned that you choose to give to us frail flesh, a kingdom that will never be shaken. Father, we long to see Jesus enthroned in every life, in every place. We dream, Lord, of walking into the shops and hearing everybody naming the name of Jesus, giving him glory. Will you have mercy on us? Pour out your Spirit on us. Lord God, we lift up to you every work that we represent. Say, God, come, be our helper. Show us how to work with you. Oh, Lord God, we look to you, we depend on you, we thirst for you, living God. Touch us with your Spirit this evening. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to encourage you. Just over a year ago, got a phone call from a friend who at the time was in Spain saying, Roy, would you be willing to take a team and visit some cities in England and just share with people there the good news of the kingdom? And I didn't hesitate to say, yes, I would love to do that, because some weeks before, I'd felt God speak to me and say, would you be willing to go to some cities in England and share the good news of the kingdom? And I said, well, Lord, I'd be very willing to do that, but I can't just arrange that, and I'm not going to go anywhere I'm not invited, and so on, so it's over to you. Well, that's great, said this friend of mine, because what has happened is that a Christian businessman flew out to Spain to see me, and he'd read your book, and he said, would Roy, do you think, be willing to come and do a series of city days in England? And this friend said, well, I I would think so. And he said, well, would you arrange it for him? Because this guy is used to doing very, very big conferences. And he said, yeah, I'd love to. He said, well, off the top of your head, to arrange that, you know, with everything that is necessary for funding, which actually makes me think that you and I need to pick this up, actually, afterwards, Stephanie. He said, what would it cost, do you think, to do all this? And so this guy came up with a figure, and he's Christian businessman, brought out a checkbook, wrote a check out and said, there's the money then. If you need anything else, come back to me. So he funded him. So 4 different days were set up. We went to Bristol, took a team of about 12, 13 people, including our worship group. And we met, quite a notable day, because there were roadworks outside, and the building wasn't just echoing, it was shaking from the sound of the drills just outside. We prayed, because we couldn't hear ourselves think. So we prayed for them, and then we stopped and we blessed them. And they stopped work and went home. But we blessed them and their families, and they just stopped and they went home. So that was great. So started off with the guy who had arranged the do, stood up, welcomed everybody, gave a few notices, handed over to our worship group, who played a note, and the Holy Spirit came. Several hundred people, and by the time we'd got through the first verse of the first worship song, a good number of the congregation were getting pretty battered by the Holy Spirit, and I had to nip out to fetch something, and I got a job to get through everybody on the floor and so on. And the venue, the church venue in which we met, we didn't know, but there had been a history of such dissension and frustration between the leadership team that the pastor was leaving, and there was a lot of problems within the church. And during the singing of the first hymn, the first song, the senior pastor found himself flat on the floor under the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit came across the rest of the team, different parts of the building. And they were absolutely knitted together. And we went on, and the Holy Spirit fell during our time, and people were being spontaneously filled with the Holy Spirit, spontaneously healed, just overwhelmed with joy. And just today, from 10:30 till 5:30, I think, we saw God do such wonderful things. Well, what amazed me was the responsiveness of the people. Just so responsive to the Lord. I had a wonderful day. And we got a letter from them afterwards saying, just want you to know what happened. On the Tuesday, we had our weekly prayer meeting, which is usually, as you can imagine, it would probably be. But this time, the Holy Spirit fell on the meeting with a great glory and weight. And then all sorts of manifestations started to happen. Then people started having prophetic words. People started to get healed. And it was the most amazing time. The following Sunday, we then had our normal Sunday worship, but we were stopped in our tracks because the weight of the Holy Spirit fell on us, and then the glory of the Lord Jesus appeared. And we thought, oh, this is pretty good then. Second venue was Birmingham, and I found that very difficult because I was really, really struggling with the worst cold that I've had for I don't know how long, years and years. But right at the beginning, an elderly man had come in, grabbed Daphne, and said, I've just come in and God's healed me. And at the end of the first session, which is usually rather brief because it's a case of saying hello to everyone, where are you from? Let's just tell you a little bit about where we're coming from and then we'll get into the teaching. And this guy came really rushing up to me, elderly guy, and grabbed me and said, I've got to tell you what God's done for me. He said, I came in with an old man's knees, and I walked in, and he exchanged them for a young man's knees. Look at this. And there's this guy, I should think, certainly in his late 80s, bouncing up and down, jumping in the air, saying, look at this. Jesus has healed me, you see. Well, we had a great time, a wonderful time. But God seemed to fall on groups of people who'd come together from different places. And when the meeting was over, in fact, when the sound system was down, the musicians had cleared away and so on, and there was just about nobody left, but these groups of people were still there, just praying, blessing one another, the weight of the glory of God was just there. And we heard back from some of them. And some had gone out, but when they got home, they couldn't rest. They went out on the streets and people started getting healed around them. So they started talking to people saying, we want to tell you about Jesus. Have you ever heard of something called the Alpha Course? Yeah, we have. Would you like to come? Yeah, actually we would. And so in a day, they had something like, I don't know whether it was 16 or 32 people who said, I think probably 16. Who want? I had to ask Daphne because she's the repository of accuracy. Who's saying yeah? And suddenly they got a new alpha course to go. But weeks later we had a letter from some guys saying, we just want to let you know that we do healing on the streets in Birmingham around St Martin's and the Bullring. And we have found it an impossibly difficult thing to do. But we go out regularly, and we try and do our best, and really we don't see much happen. But a few weeks ago, we went out there, and it was totally different. And not only were people getting healed, but we were seeing miracles in front of our eyes, including 14 members of our team, so it must be a big team, 14 members of our team who had legs lengthened. Passers-by with twisted bodies were straightened. And it was all just so easy. We just speak a word in the name of Jesus. And God was just doing the most amazing things. I'm jealous, you know, because I always wanted God to lengthen my legs. If I reached there, I'd really be quite happy. We just wondered why it's so different. But then somebody told us that there were some hundreds of you meeting and you were teaching about the kingdom of God, and we sensed God saying that he had done something. Okay, we didn't do anything, you understand that. And I'm not claiming that we did in any way at all. I'm disclaiming that we didn't. But God chose to come. Why? Because it's all about the kingdom. Everything is about the kingdom. Life is about the kingdom. Eternity is about the kingdom. The reason you and I were created is about the kingdom. The reason Jesus came is about the kingdom. And when we proclaim the good news of the kingdom, the Holy Spirit gets so excited he can't hold back anymore. So he has to just charge in and glorify Jesus and confirm the word with signs following. So from there we went to Sheffield. And that was an interesting story because Daphne was halfway walking down the Welsh border. So we scooped her up on the way to Sheffield and she came with us. And again, several hundred people. And and the Holy Spirit came, and he came with power, and scores of people were touched by him. And many people were, scores of people were ministered to for healing. And I found myself giving a pretty tough call about being willing to lay everything down and go out to the mission field. 26 people came forward in tears, saying, we'll go to the nations for Jesus, of all ages and backgrounds. And that's a difficult question. That's a different question, because they said, great, what am I going to do with them? So really a tremendous time. And then in July, we went and did it again, Saturday, in London at Westminster Chapel. And one or two of you, I think, were there, weren't you? Yeah. We actually did a Thursday evening and then the Saturday in West London. About 1,000 people. Now, the point of this was to talk to Christians and say, please stop what you're doing. Please stop living your average Christian lives. Please abandon your religiosity and your churchianity. Please come back to the call of Jesus, who, it says, turned to the disciples and said, come and be with me. Come and be with me. And then be sent. Mark 3:14, I think, isn't it? Come, be with me. That's the call. Still the call. It's his call to you. It's not a call to busyness. It's not a call into churchianity. It's come. Come be with me. And then it says, and then that he might send us. That is still his call to you and to me. First priority, that we might be with Jesus. The second issue, but the secondary issue, is that we might be sent. Do you really think anything to do with the kingdom depends on you or on me? The future of his church does not depend on you. Jesus said he will build his church. It depends on him. In his graciousness, he calls us, invites us to be with him, and out of his presence, he commissions us and he sends us. And our problem is that we are all so busy going when we weren't sent. And where we weren't sent. See, if we simply kept to the first invitation and were just with him, well, it's all going to come and happen anyway. Because we will be incarnating Jesus, which is what we're called to do. We'll be transformed by being with him. If actually we never got to the point of being sent, our flesh would be enormously disappointed and frustrated because we want to be sent and we want to go and we're going to go and do exploits for the king. But actually if we never got that far, it'd be okay. Goodness me, he can create a mighty international apostle from a piece of dust on the floor. In fact, he can create him from nothing because he created all things from nothing. The call of our lives is to be invested in him. To be with him. That is the number one priority. But this call, I look back and I shudder at early years of ministry, with my desperation to get somebody somewhere to recite the sinner's prayer. Well done, you're going to heaven. Right? Nothing to do with the work of the Holy Spirit. If you say these words, you're in. You don't believe? No. I'll tell you what, just read these words. Right, you're in, you're going to heaven. You know? No change of life, no repentance needed. You just say the words and you've got a passport to heaven. And really, that's what everybody around me in those days did. Wow, we saw 100 people recite that prayer, you know. Fine. And we probably gave them a very false assurance. Didn't demand anything of them. The invitation of Jesus is to be with him. Personal call. And then some of us sort of get mixed up and say, oh, well, yeah, because, you know, when we first sense that God was drawing us, we discovered who Jesus was and we laid our lives down for him, you know, and it was all so exciting and fantastic. Couldn't stop reading the Bible. Prayer was a joy. Just wanted to drop everything and just read his word. It was all so wonderful and got to know other Christians, heard their stories, told them mine. Wonderful, wonderful days. Well, that was back then, you know, but life goes on and today we're where we are and we're really busy, you know. And we've got 2 services on Sunday, we've got the women's meeting on Monday, the Bible study Tuesday, the prayer meeting Wednesday, the flower arranging Thursday, whatever it is. And then, of course, there are lunchtime events, and then they're all sick to be. Looking at all this, hang on. None of this is bad stuff. But what are you investing your life in? Because Jesus did not say, come to be with me. And we'll have a nice little sort of picnic together. And then I'm going to wind you up and let you go. Oh my goodness, you're going to be busy for the rest of your life. Didn't say that. Come and be with me. And then he says, and I will send you. Have you ever noticed that if somebody just walks into a situation and tries to act and speak or whatever, it can be absolutely chaotic? Do you know, I love that proverb, biblical proverb, that said somebody interfering in a quarrel between others is like a man who grabs a wild dog by the ears. But when somebody walks into a situation clothed with authority, well, hold on, this is a little bit different now. And that's the difference between being busy. We all say we're so busy doing good things for God, but the problem is that lots of the time they are not good things for God that He has asked us to do. And in the midst of our busyness, we have failed to listen for His voice and commissioning to send us. So that when we do what we're sent to do, everything is different. Because we have the authority to be there. To speak the words that Jesus gives. Now this sort of easy believism, say the words and you're in. And all the busyness that comes up. So I was just sharing with folks that actually, what it means to follow Jesus, we used to say it doesn't cost us anything because Jesus paid the price. That's deceitful. That's a very tiny, impoverished gospel. Actually, the call of Jesus, leave everything and follow me. Hang on, leave how much? Everything. And the disciples left everything and followed him. Now, of course, I'm not talking about works playing a part in salvation or anything silly like that. But what I'm saying is actually, to listen to the invitation of Jesus and to respond is a very costly thing to do. And part of our problem is that we haven't recognized that and dealt with it. So we've got on and we've sort of lived ordinary lives. I've got a BlackBerry. And for me, it's absolutely wonderful because I can be traveling and I know when my emails come in, I can respond to them immediately. Which means at the end of a trip, when I get home, I no longer have to lock myself away to deal with this great big backlog of emails. I've done them on the go, on the run, and much easier. Suddenly, I stopped getting them. So I went to the O2 shop and said, I have a problem here. And I changed the tariff. And I'd done it in a store. And they said they forgot on the computer to put on the bolt-on. I said, what do you mean the bolt-on? And they said, oh, that's the thing that lets you get your emails. It's a bolt-on. Okay. Anyway, they said, we've just ticked the box. And it was a mistake we made. We're very sorry. We'll give you a credit. So I got it. Well, do you know many of us are living lives with a bolt on. We're living normal, average, Christian, culturally Christian lives. We've got a sort of bolt on. We get on, we have our responsibilities, of course, but we have our hopes, our plans, our dreams, our ambitions, our friendships, our careers, our plans for retirement, whatever it may be, and we get on, we responsibly live our lives, and somehow we have God as a bolt on. Because of what Jesus has done for us. Jesus said, leave everything. Abandon it all. So, doing these four city days, as we talked about the kingdom, the rule of God breaking in today, the kingdom that won't be fully seen or experienced until Jesus comes again, but which is already overshadowing time and space. so that we find ourselves in a sort of strange mix of two kingdoms. We're living on earth and yet heaven is coming. We are able, Jesus said, and it's because he came in the flesh, to grasp the kingdom now. Here's the good news, the kingdom of God is amongst you. Wow. Violent men are grabbing hold of it. Well, I want to be one of those violent men. If I can push through and come under the rule of God now while I'm living today and experience his grace and his blessing and his power and his authority and play my part as he calls me, not in busyness, but as he calls me, that's the life I want to live. And then I want to just walk into the fullness when I see him face to face. And to do that, I have to take all my plans, which are probably going to crumble away anyway. But I've got to take my plans, my hopes, my dreams, my ambitions, my career, my plans for the future, but my plans for retirement, and everything else, and say, Lord, I lay it all down. And then I take what I own. Now that includes time and energy, but it's also whatever I have in the bank. If I own a house, a car, a lawnmower, whatever it is, everything I own, and say, I give up rights of ownership. And I will no longer own anything. I will only be a steward of it for you. I welcome you and I will thank you for what you give me. Bible says God gives us things that we may enjoy them, which is such a releasing word, isn't it? But I'm going to steward this is for you. Lord, if you tell me I give everything I have away, then that's what I'm going to do. But all I'm going to do is keep my eyes on you. And I'm going to listen to your word. I'm going to be responsive to you. I want to be sent and commissioned if you want to send and commission me. But I want to learn just to be with you. Because that is what he longs for more than anything else from you and from me. That we might be with him. Not an experience we left behind and now don't have time for. It is still today his number one call to you and me. Come. Be with me. So as we did these 4 city days, we challenged people to publicly repent of the way they've been living their Christian lives. To say that from now on they would turn around and live life differently. They would relinquish ownership, plans, future, and everything else for the sake of the king. Become stewards, not owners, of what they have. So thankful to God for what he's given. That everything may be for him. That he may direct their paths. That they will go where he sends them if he chooses to commission and send them. And I made it as hard as I could. Do you know how many people responded over those 4 days? A little short of 2,000. Now, the reason I'm saying all this is because I've seen such a change in England. Now, I look back, and I have 3 friends here just, again, so thrilled to see. And we've just been catching up with one another and talking a little about the work of God that we were joined together in, heart to heart really, late 70s, very early 80s, when God was moving so powerfully. They were most amazing times, weren't they? And we saw God do so many magnificent things, so many people coming to faith, so many people touched so, so powerfully. We used to say you can't sneeze without somebody being converted. That's what you got to do. And marvelous days. But then sort of late 80s, the Christian pace, sense of God, the thrust of renewal and everything else started to fade away. Late 80s, everybody's saying, what's happened to renewal? Well, it wasn't new anymore. That's what had happened to it, become mainstream. So it's orthodox belief now, instead of something new and exciting that's come along. And then there was the sort of thrust of the Toronto Times, if you were touched by that. And suddenly, for a brief period, really, there was fervor in the church. Across the land, Churches started meeting together who wouldn't normally do that, just to worship and rejoice. Sense of unity that God was doing. And it was simply a wave, another wave of blessing that God gave. And then things have just sort of toddled on. In some places they've been pretty fair, really. I've been in many places, it's been pretty hard work. But what we said earlier this year, as we went to these four cities, was, goodness me, there are all the marks here of what we saw God doing in England back in the late 70s, early 80s. I want to encourage you with that. That's our view and our appreciation of what's going on. We're encouraged that the tide is rising. Wow. Well, I hadn't intended to share any of this, so I hope it's blessing you. But it's not teaching about blessing, is it? But I just want to bless you that we sense the tide is rising. But can I challenge you as well? My plan tomorrow is actually to preach from this text. And I'm finding myself dangerously moving towards it now, and I'm resisting it. I want to wait and speak on it tomorrow. So I'm sort of doing my thing in two halves. This is the first half, well, probably two-thirds. And if you can put up with it, I want to spend perhaps 15 minutes pressing on, talking about blessing in a moment. Is that okay? It's very hot in here, isn't it? Well, I just want to encourage you to be amongst those who actually grasp the fact that God loves you for you, not for what you do for him. That his love for you... that his love for you is not based on what you do for him at all. I mean, not even 1%, not even a fraction of 1% is his love for you based on your service and what you do. It's based on 100% of his decision and commitment for eternity to love you and love you and love you and love you. And you might rise up and become a mighty warrior for God. And that's absolutely fantastic, and everybody would rejoice and cheer you on. But in terms of God's love for you, it wouldn't alter a thing, a fraction, make any difference. Because you don't earn his love, you never earned his love, you'll never be able to earn his love. He just loves you as you are. But he invites you to be amongst those who say, actually, I want to come be with him. And then I want to explore what it means to walk as one commissioned, one sent. I want to be clothed with that kind of authority. That instead, you know, I might drop 80% of the busyness of my life. Perhaps actually spend time with my family. But what I am going to do is say, Lord, what are you anointing me for? What are you calling me to do? Is there one thing that you've made me for? Do you want to commission me? Do you want to give me authority? Again, this battle of the flesh. This is, oh yeah, I want the most powerful anointing that anybody has had for 100 years. And I want to walk as one walking in the might of God. That's what our flesh says. Because the subtext, of course, is because I want people to see me and approve of me and remember me, and I want everybody to speak well of me. Wow, did you know? Did you actually meet that giant in the Lord? That's what our flesh says. But you have a covenant service. Put me to doing or not? And flesh can object to the lay me aside if you want to, Lord. If he's the Lord, why shouldn't he lay us aside for a season? But our flesh, no, 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 no. Why? We lose our security because we find a security in being busy and doing things for him. Well, I want to invite you to be bold and say, Lord Jesus, my first priority is going to be to learn again, to grow in being with you. That's my number one call. That's what you made me for. And I'm going to hold everything I have loosely for you. But I'm going to pursue your kingdom, your rule. I'm going to seek it above all things. Not in my life alone, but to see it break out in the community around me. Father, I just ask in Jesus' name that you would confirm this word in your heart, in our hearts. And that you would send the Holy Spirit to draw us again into deep fellowship with Jesus. Help us to turn away from being average, or even rather better than average. Would you demolish that foolishness and create a passion in us for you? In Jesus' name, amen. Right. Well, that was a little bit of a detour, wasn't it? Right. Are you able to sort of switch your minds back into blessing and more or less to where we left off a long time ago? We were talking about speaking blessing, and I want to cover two particular areas very, very quickly. Three areas very, very. I have 3 points. My last one will be quite brief. Okay. I'm going to start off by talking about blessing a person. So, why don't you come and join me for a moment, would you? Remind me of your name.
Anne-Marie.
This is let me introduce Anne-Marie to you. Okay. We're going to bless Anne-Marie. Okay. Anne-Marie is representing all human beings this evening. Has somebody representing God? Now we have all human beings. Somebody emailed me today and said planet Earth has just reached a population of 7 billion. Given that the initial investment was 2, Adam and Eve, it's not been a bad return, has it? So here's Anne-Marie. So we were talking about blessing people, blessing one another. So one of the things we can do is quickly go through the scriptures. We can find, go to Paul's letters, find all sorts of benedictions. Fantastic, many of them for using in blessing. Go through Psalms. Wow, full of stuff. When we bless you, that you may succeed, and we will raise banners with you when you succeed. I bless you that you may, Anne-Marie, I bless you that you may succeed in everything the Lord is calling you into. So we can pick up scriptures and so on. But I'm very careful, because we have this silly attitude that says if this is Christian, it's got to be spiritual, full stop. And so we bless one another that the Spirit of the Lord may be upon you, that you may be strengthened with might in the inner man. I bless you, the Holy Spirit may come on you in more power. And we do all this sort of stuff. But here's Anne-Marie, who's got an ingrowing toenail. You haven't, have you?
No.
I made this terrible mistake of this incredibly, I'm not going to tell you about it. You can ask me afterwards if you like. One of the most mind-blowing and wonderful testimonies you can believe. Just absolutely wonderful. And so I wanted to share it with people to encourage you. A most amazing thing that God did with this young woman. So I thought, right, I've got to be very careful, so we'll disguise her. I didn't know what she was called, but I just, different places around the country, so I've just got to tell you this amazing thing God has done about this young girl. We called her Alice, you see. So for a couple of years, I told this amazing story of what God did, this young woman called Alice. So after a couple of years, who should appear in Faldebrennen, not this young woman, but the woman who God used to rescue her, literally at the point of death. And I said, you know, I've been telling people about Alice. And she said, I know, isn't it wonderful? And I said, you know who I'm talking about? She said, yeah, Alice. And her name was Alice. I thought I'd chosen a really obscure name. Anyway, you don't have a name. But my point here is that we have a human being here, not a spirit. So to say, I'm going to bless Anne Marie and simply bless her that a spirit may rise up, that she may rule in Christ, that she may be strong, the gifts of the Spirit may flow, it's all wonderful, but it's inadequate on its own. Because actually she has a physical body. And physical bodies get tired and they get aches and pains, and we strain a joint or we get a headache or a toothache or whatever it may be. She's a whole person. Not only is she a spirit, but she has the capacity to think, to reason. She has a physical body, but there are more things in life, because we can bless all that. But if we said you are now thoroughly blessed, we've blessed your mind, your spirit and your body, put her in a box and left her there, she'd die. Because actually she needs feeding. Now to be able to eat, she needs support, whether by her hands or with her husband or some sort of income. So there needs to be some sort of financial flow, an economy that supports her. Well, why not bless the supply to her and her family? But she needs more than that, because actually she needs love. She needs to be loved and to give love. And so we want to bless her deepest relationships, her family relationships. But she needs more than that, because if that's all she has, she may get quite introverted within the family. She needs friends. So we want to bless her circles of connection with people. So as we begin to bless, probably not just to begin with, but we might start saying, just want to bless you, Anne Marie. This is not real blessing, if you see what I mean. I'm just working this bit out, okay? So we might say, okay, really want to bless you, Anne Marie. Now, there are things I can bless you with that I don't even have to think about or question the Lord about. So I bless you that you may be open to the fullness of the blessings of God. That is a blessing. Okay. But as I begin to do that, I say, I just got this sense. I want to bless your right shoulder, that your right shoulder might be strengthened, that the joint may be lubricated, free to move. And then I might find myself saying, I just got this sense that just at the moment, I want to bless, we'll say, the friends that are closest to you, that your friendship and connections of friendship may strengthen, and that a bridge of life may keep growing between you and them, where you bless each other, encourage each other as friends, but as that bridge is established, Jesus himself may travel across that bridge and begin to touch your friends. And there may be one or two things that begin to... I find myself... Because it's a whole person. So it's inadequate simply to bless somebody spiritually, because they're a whole person. Because they may starve to death but go to heaven with a smile on their face because their spirit was pretty good. And all the Christians saying, great, 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 you know, we kept blessing her that her spirit would rise up. This is why she was starving to death. You know? So when we bless somebody, we bless the whole person, not simply the spirit of the person. Because the good news of the kingdom, the good news of Jesus, is for every part of Anne Marie. So, you were just standing in, but now this is Anne Marie. Anne Marie, I bless you in the name of Jesus. that the Spirit of the living God may rest upon you, and that you may know how favored you are in the eyes of your Heavenly Father, that you may know that he grins hugely every time that he looks at you, because he's so overwhelmed with pleasure, because he made you. You're the person he created. He dreamt of you. I bless you to know how thrilled the Father is with you. And I bless you that you may be at peace and at rest with that. And that your family relationships may be deepened in love and firmly strengthened. And I bless you that you and your husband may find yourselves with one mind, one heart, holding hands in joy and pressing into the purposes of God that he has for you. And I bless you that every part of your physical body may be strengthened in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, thank you. So you see the importance of this is a whole person. So if then we start to say we want to speak blessings out, this is all about the kingdom. Okay? You understand? This is all about the kingdom. All Jesus wanted to talk about was the kingdom, the rule of God breaking in. All we long to see is the rule of God breaking in. The rules of darkness, the captivity of sin shattered, and Jesus being recognized and honored and worshipped as king. Everything is about the king. Now, if God has set himself to bless the righteous and the unrighteous alike, what is the enemy seeking to do? He's trying to make sure that the blessings of God go absolutely unrecognized by those who don't yet know him. So that there is a veil over their minds. They can't see it. They don't know that the blessings of God are there for them. So we're speaking out blessings. We don't know what's going on in the heavenlies. But as we speak out blessings, we're doing something. We're sowing for the kingdom. We're helping to cooperate with what the Holy Spirit is doing. Because he's out there and he's working to begin to stir people up, to prepare them, to bring conviction, to open their minds, their understanding, their imagination to the glory that is Jesus. So when we speak blessings out over a community, we are affirming, we're agreeing with heaven. Heaven is saying, let the kingdom of Jesus break out in the people's lives here. And we are uniting with heaven and saying, yes, here on earth we are in agreement with there in heaven that the blessings of the king may be released in these people. So when we speak out to them and speak blessings to them, we certainly bless them that the spirit of revelation may come to them and they may see Jesus. But we're doing a lot more than that as well. It's the whole community. We bless them that voices may rise up with amongst them that lead them. We bless them with health in the name of Jesus. We bless them with prosperity in the name of Jesus. And we define prosperity as having enough to live and enough left over to be givers as well. That's how we define prosperity. And that's what we mean when we bless people with prosperity, that they may have enough to live and enough to give, to share. So we're speaking this stuff out. We're blessing them with favor, that the work of their hands, whatever they turn their hands to, which is morally clean, may be blessed by God, fruitful, because we need economy out there. What do we care about all these people who are losing their jobs? Well, we bless the people out here that entrepreneurs may rise up with wonderful concepts of business that will lead to a new economy and employment for many people and regeneration for the area we're in and hope for the young, because suddenly there is going to be a financial return on this. We bless them in the name of the Lord Jesus, that this may all come, that dignity may rise. All this stuff is to do with the kingdom. That there may be hope for people. But we're sowing all this in the name of Jesus. Does this make sense? Yeah? You're following me. Okay. So for us at Felderbrennen, as I've said before, every Friday we incorporate this in our rhythm of prayer. And we speak out of the over our local community and we bless it. And the amazing thing is, you know, we've been speaking now for a number of years, every Friday, blessings over our local community. But since June last year now, when we started putting hundreds and hundreds of people out into homes around us and saying, you accommodate our people and you have 100% of the money for doing so, this year we're looking at something probably like £70,000. Going into our little rural area, supporting people, blessing people from doing that. Suddenly found that we are part of the answer. We've been speaking the blessings, proclaiming blessings, but now we're finding that in giving all this away, money is being poured into the local economy, and it's giving people a livelihood. And wonderful things are happening. I've got to watch the time. I could tell you some wonderful things that are really, really current. But I really want to watch the time. Okay. Well, I know that's what I was referring to. Okay. So it's the end of the talk. I've got to tell you, all right. Am I forgiven? Is this okay? All right. It's the end of the tourist season. Pembrokeshire holiday destination. And so, you know, we have our Welsh Assembly. So the Minister of Tourism comes out to Pembrokeshire, meets with the Tourism Wales Agency head, and then they call some meetings to meet bed and breakfast owners and those who own tourist businesses to say, how has it been? How's the year been? And the answer has been, it's been a terrible year, but not the worst year, but it's been a terrible year. And tourism in Wales is, southwest Wales, going down like that. Mainly because the weather is going down like that. Okay, August, I think the hottest temperature was 15 in Pembrokeshire. And we were reading of tremendous temperatures further west. We only got up on the hottest day to 15. Terrible, terrible weather. And so all the B&Bs were saying, well, you know, we had about half of what we really need. And all talking, you see. And suddenly this voice pipes up. I've been full since February, and I haven't got a single bed available until mid-December. And everybody stopped. So the tourism minister said, that's absolutely incredible. I mean, do you have any explanation for that? He said, I do. And he said, could you share it? I would love to. It's called Felderbrennen. And the assembly member, who was a Christian, said, that's very interesting. Could you tell everybody what you mean when you say it's Felderbrennen? And so she started talking and told stories of how she's taking people, and now the only people she has are the people we sent her, and she's always full. But started talking about the extraordinary changes that she sees in the people's lives who are with her. You know, some of them come there so obviously so ill, so depressed, so desperate. And 2 days later, they can't stop singing. And every week I see transformed people. And this place keeps me full. So the AM member who was waking said, do you think that perhaps some of these other people would be able to have their guests? Well, of course they would. So it's going to be interesting to follow on. Well, what happened? They then did a tour around Wales to the tourist places. What happened to every place? We want to tell you about the Felderbrennen effect. There is hope for you if God starts doing something in your area. Because people will come and the churches will need you to put them up. That's exciting, isn't it? Okay, talking about the person Anne-Marie, the person being the whole person. Let me quickly give you the bless acrostic. If you want to write this down, please do. If you don't know the bless acrostic, we find it helps us to teach people how to work out. Because okay, blessing somebody the first time. When you see them the second time, it can start to get, oh, okay, I'll do it again. And the third time, oh, I don't know what else to say, really. What's different? So let me just help you. Okay. So this is an acrostic based on bless. B, body. Physical. Okay. And then you can open that up to things like health, protection, strength. L, labor. It's this need to be able to work, to be able to receive reward for work. And in a world where nobody is secure anymore, why not ask that they may actually find themselves in jobs that are at least secure for the moment? E, emotional. Joy, peace, hope, fundamental things that we long for and were made to have. S, social. I mean, it's relationships really, doesn't it? Love, marriage, family. Friends. And then the second S, spiritual. Salvation. Faith. Grace of God at work in their lives. Now, it's a simple thing that helps us to look at a whole person and say, how do we really bless this person? And then, very quickly, because I just want to cover this ground, because I don't want to pick it up tomorrow. As I say, I really want to share from this. But we ask questions, because to us, to be involved as people who bless, it's not enough simply to say, I bless you, Lou, in the name of Jesus. Because if I see that Lou is shivering because she's cold, I'd ask her secret, then surely I must give her a cloak. If I see that Steve is bent over with hunger, surely I must grab some food and give it to him. To bless is more than being somebody who speaks the word of blessing. It also involves our being an answer in blessing. So we ask some simple questions. And they're to do with partnership in the Holy Spirit, not with rushing out to be even busier doing more stuff. Here are the questions. Who is God putting in front of me? Okay, that's the thing. Who is God putting in front of me that I can affirm and bless? All these kids coming from single-parent families who are not used to being affirmed. How about the person who's really the social outcast in our area? Who is God putting in front of me that I can affirm and bless? Next one. Who is God putting in front of me to whom I might show mercy? You remember what mercy is? It's coming along, lifting the weight off them and carrying it for them instead. That's mercy. With whom might I share the gospel? Who is God putting in front of me with whom I might share the good news of Jesus? Simple questions that, again, just help us to be a blessing. Some of you will remember a book from years and years. Oh, my goodness, it is an old book that was entitled Danger, Saints at Work. And we can rush in and we can start wanting to do things for people and make our mark. You know, we're here to bless and help you and be the utter nightmare of a neighbor. But if we're saying, Lord, what are you doing us? What with us? What are you opening up for us? Where are you opening a way where we may be your hands? Not simply your mouth speaking the words that bless, but the practicality of blessing as well. So we share in partnership with him. Now, there's no pressure in this, but these questions help us to keep focused. Because if you use them, you'll forget them after a while, because you'll just be doing this stuff, and you'll forget that you ever started with the questions. But to begin with, they keep bringing us back to being aware. Because if actually the answer is, well, nobody at the moment, that's fine. And if in 3 weeks' time it's still, well, no one, that's fine. But if after 3 months you're not aware of God opening up anywhere, anyone, any situation for you to serve and bless, there's a bit of a problem somewhere. So you're probably going to start saying, Lord, I might be missing something here. Are you actually opening up and I things I'm not seeing them? Would you please help me open my eyes that I might see? So they help us to focus and ask the questions. And I'm really aware that this has been a long and a hot session. So I want to close with this. I said this is the final, very brief thing, but it is. I mentioned this as a resource right at the beginning, in case I forgot it altogether. What we train people to do is to take some of this stuff about blessing, worship, intercession, proclaiming blessing, being blessing. And we put it together and we help people to put it into practice, not just on their own, but in threes, fours, and more. So they can begin to work it out. And sometimes people do that from within a congregation or within a denomination, and sometimes it's done interdenominationally because there are a mix of people from different churches in this particular area. Let's see if we can embody the kingdom here and serve the people around them and love them together, but focusing actually on our neighborhood, interceding for them, speaking blessings over them, hopefully by name, serving them, loving them, and being ready at any opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with them. So that's what that box set is about. That's a local house of prayer. I'm going to leave that with you because you look as tired as I feel at the moment. And I don't think the hot air helps, do you? That's my excuse. I'm not boring you, am I? Thank you. I feel better now. Shall we commit this all to the Lord? Father, we do just that. Lord, we want to be doers of the word, not hearers only. So would you help each one of us, absolutely me included, to come back to the heart of all this incredible gift of yours? We thank you that you have blessed us in sending Jesus, that you have given every spiritual blessing in the Beloved. We marvel at your goodness. Would you please make us your children, Father, so that the family likeness comes out, that we find ourselves full of compassion, just as you are full of compassion, that we may bless indiscriminately, just as you bless indiscriminately. Would you help us to love, to show mercy, to share the good news of Jesus? Would you touch our lips with fire, that as we speak out blessings over people, areas, regions, we may do so with authority, that there may be change, change on the ground. We ask again that our neighbours may start receiving dreams and visions of Jesus. Will you come, Holy Spirit, stir them up? Be our helper, Lord. Help us to be these people. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.